Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Ladyfest Cincinnati returns to the Northside area for its third year, the weekend of October 14th and 15th. From music and art to performance and empowerment, Ladyfest is a celebration of women in the arts and in many other forms. Rochelle Kaplan has been one of the leading organizers of the event since its beginning. She joins me by phone. Rochelle Kaplan, thanks for being on Local Exposure.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your involvement with Ladyfest Cincinnati.
So I've been involved for the entire 3 years that we've been going. I like to kind of steer away from particular titles and things like that, but it's become the working title of director, just because that kind of covers all the bases of what happens in terms of my involvement. Basically, 3 years ago in 2015, a group of women, myself included, started discussing ways that we could organize and do something on a large scale that really reflected what we were a part of in the Cincinnati creative community, and additionally would bolster and kind of give a recognition to some of the issues that we were experiencing and witnessing for others. So my background with Ladyfest is that I was involved in 2007 in Chicago in a Ladyfest that was fantastic. And I learned a lot from that experience. And I always said that I wanted to replicate that somewhere, knowing that I wasn't going to stay in Chicago the whole time. And that somewhere became Cincinnati years later.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I was doing some research that the whole Ladyfest concept started in the early 2000s. And just spread, mm-hmm. And I've seen notes of Ladyfest taking place in places as far away as China.
Oh, yeah. There's a Ladyfest Milan. There's Ladyfest Paris. I have a good friend who does a Ladyfest in Portugal. So, yeah, a Ladyfest is definitely a global event. It's interesting in its concept. You know, the first one was in 2001 in Olympia, Washington. A collective, like a feminist collective, started this up. It's really, like, I would say, you know, an outgrowth of Riot Girl and the movements that were happening in Olympia and Seattle in the 90s. And the concept was to have a feminist festival that really put them in the front. Primarily, it was organized by women in an attempt to be not exploitative, not just saying, well, here's a bunch of women, look at how great they are. We know that. And women have been incredible artists and musicians for a long time. But saying, okay, what does it look like if women are the ones coming together and creating their own event and are being given that platform. The idea was really like open source before open source was a term. The internet was, you know, around, but it was a little bit in its infancy. So the concept was to have this festival, it's a grassroots festival that anyone can take the premise. It can happen anywhere and it reflects the community that it happens in. And the rest is kind of history. It's kind of like been a DIY organized, slightly under the radar event for decades now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't necessarily a reaction against other arts and music festivals that you feel maybe don't represent non-traditional gender identities. This is something completely separate, correct?
Yeah, this isn't necessarily a pushback. There are ways that the festival that Ladyfest Cincinnati primarily is run that is inspired as a countercurrent to kind of like this fest culture that we've seen in the last like 6 or 7 years. But as a whole, and us included, Ladyfest is more about creating and holding space for individuals who are maybe a part of like oppressed and marginalized groups that are not being given on a regular basis kind of the platform for their voices and their talent and their ideas to be heard at the same level. Right. And that's mm-hmm. a really hard thing to do because there's hierarchy within, you know, many things, but there's hierarchy within creative communities, whether it's acknowledged or not, it exists. So to say something like, you know, you're going to leverage power to create space for marginalized voices, it's a big thing to say. And it's a part of our mission to do something like that. But even the intent is more than what is typically happening in our society even now. So it's been around for decades and it's still a pertinent cause, and especially as gender non-conforming individuals are becoming more recognized as needing rights and needing like the resources of that platform. So that's a way that Ladyfest as a whole has evolved, and Ladyfest Cincinnati has really like embraced that evolution, and we try to push the envelope within that because so many in our community are within that identity marker.
You touched on this a little bit, but I want to expand upon it. Is the idea like the preconceived notion of what Ladyfest is to the uninitiated? I think would be, like you said, sort of a women-driven, primarily maybe punk rock music type of celebration. But there's so much more to that. There's film. There's art installations. There's performance art. You have performances by choirs as well as classically trained musicians. There's so much going on of so many different parts of the spectrum that it's really hard to maybe pin down with a good definition.
So we try to really defy any like genre categorization musically as much as possible, right? Because we're seeing women-identified folks from all ends of the spectrum performing great, great, great art. And really, it becomes more of a celebration in the recognition of that, but in going into like that part of ourselves, this maybe this discovery of newness. And so like maybe you come from a background where you really like punk and you have DIY roots and you know for what that means in DIY culture. But Ladyfest isn't limited to that. You know, we have hip hop and we have a spoken word and readers and poetry series. And a part of that is because, you know, when you sit at a table with some really strong, intelligent women in this city in particular and talk about what they do, what they're inspired by, what floors them, and what needs more space, what voices that are inspiring are maybe not being heard as much, it certainly isn't limited to any certain type of music, and it's not limited to music at all. And so that's really what we came to in the planning phases, you know, 3 years ago, sitting down and being like, wow, there are a lot of very talented writers and readers, and there are very talented musicians in maybe these lesser showcased genres, maybe classical, that's in, you know, you picture in one space only or like a couple spaces, but you don't necessarily picture it at a bar venue. And then you have like visual art and you have performance. And when we looked at that, we were saying, you know, there's so much, there's such a breadth of talent, and where are the events that showcase that? And they exist, you know, Cincinnati has no lack of that. But what I noticed moving here about a decade ago, there wasn't a lot of network. There wasn't a lot of connectivity across these different artistic groups, right? I didn't see the level of collaboration that I had seen growing up in Philadelphia and South Florida, where I'm from, living in Chicago. And I didn't quite understand why, because the talent's here and the resources are here. So that's the kind of conversations we had. Like, how outrageous is it really to have somebody reading poetry before a loud band comes on? Why is that outrageous? Why can't we see art aside performance art? That seems pretty obvious, but let's bring it outside of a setting. And it was kind of shocking moving here. And I say this because this is not my isolated experience. It took me a couple years to grow the confidence to start having dialogues openly with friends and acquaintances about this concept. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to bring up at a casual conversation, like, hey, why aren't women talking more when they're talking? But why am I not seeing this engagement of collaborative push alongside of art and like a recognition of that? And there were just a few experiences that were a little jarring being a new person in this city. And so it got a bunch of us talking about, yeah, what is this seeming divide that we don't want to put a gender label on, but that's what we're experiencing.
Did you feel like the outsider coming into this conversation?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, not me who I am, but being new to Cincinnati, but being in the creative community here rather quickly, feeling accepted, but not feeling empowered by it, not feeling the kind of discourse that I had been experiencing prior, not having that be activated. And typically working with women, whether like-minded or not, who are doing some boundary pushing or radical artwork in some way. And I saw it happening here, but it seemed not in the spotlight, not amplified. I'd mentioned Ladyfest just to see, just to put feelers out. And in the beginning, for a few years, it was, oh yeah, that sounds really cool, and kind of flat. And then 3 years ago, I'd mention it, and the response started changing. It was, man, that sounds really incredible. Why don't we have something like that here? Or how do we do something like that here? Or when you do that, give me a call. That's when the light went off for me. I was like, oh, you're telling me to give you a call. Not just one, two, like a good couple handfuls of folks are like, hey, I think we need this. I think I need this. I think this would be powerful.
So then it fell to you to kind of take the reins and make it happen.
I will say I put myself out there for it because I know how much on the back end it takes to organize, to organize music and to organize larger scale events. And that's really kind of informed the entire approach the whole time is, how would you like to be involved? Like, we'll meet you where you're at, you know, give as much as you would like to give, and then I'll figure out how to fill out the rest that needs to happen. And that's actually been an incredibly beneficial strategy because people are really generous. And especially when you're working like with creative folks, they have a breadth of skills.
Let me just take a step back from the conversation. And you were saying about how these dialogues needed to happen and are still needing to happen. One of the things that is an important factor of the Ladyfest is what you're calling your safer space. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Safer space, it's a concept that's been around for a while, to be completely honest. And we actually adapted our policy from one from a Ladyfest in Philadelphia. Really, the concept is not a promise that a space will be safe by any means, but a recognition that most spaces aren't. And in that recognition, in that moment of thinking about that, and thinking about ways it might not be safe for someone else, somewhere that you might take for granted as being completely fine, why might that not be safe for someone else? And in that questioning, thinking about our actions, our words, even like our emotions and our thoughts and how we're projecting them out there, and that there's really kind of this mix that happens when we're in social interactions where, you know, we're kind of bleeding that together. Your emotional response is not completely isolated to you because you're not alone. And so really the kind of questioning is what is at the core of the idea of a safer space and being self-referential enough to be aware of what your actions are and how you're putting them out there and how they might have unintended consequences for others. You know, we have this idea now that's more common in language of microaggression. And it's kind of pointing at that, too, of these small, seemingly small gestures or phrases or casual interactions could have very large repercussions for somebody of a certain identity marker or, like, coming from intersections of oppression that you might not have ever taken into account. So what we try to do with Ladyfest is take spaces that we frequent regularly, you know, that that are common to our community, and tilt them just a bit to add that self-referential element of attendees to, and put even just, dare I say, like some care out for those around you.
Yeah, it's just sort of a notice of, hey, just let's be a little more aware of ourselves and the people around us, and they might not be in the same place that we are at the same time.
Right. You don't really know where someone's coming from, and ways to kind of give grace to that and honor that at the same time. And there's something really kind of magical that happens in that, where in times where I've been challenged to be more aware and, you know, try to put more of my best self forward, my experience becomes more vivid. There's another element to it. And I think having a large amount of people holding that can be very powerful.
After the break, I'll have more from my conversation with Rochelle Kaplan. We'll discuss the many collaborations that make Ladyfest Cincinnati possible, and, of course, we'll talk about the music. That's right after this.
Mm-hmm. With over 300,000 podcasts available, how do you find your next listening obsession? Join me, Trip Eldridge, for Start Here, a weekly look at what's exploding on the national podcast scene, as well as what's fun from Greater Cincinnati's creative podcast community. Get Start Here from Podcast Central at WVXU.org or Apple Podcasts.
And now back to the show. I'm going to switch gears and talk about some of the partnerships that you've arranged for this year's Ladyfest. One is with Hara City Sounds, which is an organization that I know just a tiny bit about. It's a locally based booking and production label. I think it was started by one of the members of Leggy, and they really put an emphasis on women, LGBTQ+, non-binary, and people in various places on that spectrum in music.
Yeah, so Veronique Aller, who's the singer and lead guitarist of Leggy, local band Leggy, pretty much her brainchild. And Veronique and I have known each other for quite some time. And early phases of Ladyfest ideas, there were some conversations with Veronique. We both acknowledged getting a lot of inspiration from each other. And so at the time that Ladyfest was happening, Hara City Sounds started developing and really got some momentum going. Backstory of me, I was in a feminist sludge metal band prior, and that's how Veronique and I became friends. And so musically, we took a lot of inspiration in the intersection of having a socio-political lens in music. So I really love what Hara City Sounds has done in the time they've been around. I'm constantly impressed by their work and the kind of artists they showcase. And so it seemed like a really natural merging. That partnership grew out of an idea to open up the way in which not so much the organizing was done with Ladyfest, because it's kind of how it's always been, but how it's presented on the front end and give recognition to the organizations and the groups that are bolstering what Ladyfest does. And at the same time, Ladyfest giving a nod to what they're doing because they're doing it maybe year-round, and that's really important to support also. And so in hand with that, we also are in partnership with the Black Seeds. They're doing incredible work, Siri Amani and Azia Love and the whole group, and more along intersectionality.
For those who may not know, the Black Seeds is an artist collective who they kind of focus on people of color.
Yeah, and so there's a really rich, very like profound people of color activism within their work. They're doing something that's really, really magical in that they're all such incredible artists in so many faceted ways, and they would be activists unto themselves anyway because of the nature of their work, but they really came together to make something that the whole is larger than the sum of its parts kind of thing. And they're just a powerhouse of talent. And so it's really jaw-dropping how much they've done. I mean, to music and spoken word and event series all over the city, to doing educational workshops on the spectrum of like visual art, writing, tutoring for children, garden series. So I kind of see them as spearheading, filling the gap wherever they see need.
Now, of course, with Ladyfest, I want to talk about the music. But before we get to the music, there was one item that caught my eye on the website, ladyfestcincinnati.com, is that Mad Tree and Urban Artifact have created some special drinks for this weekend occasion.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. In the great fun ideation process that is envisioning the festival every year, it was realized that Friday the 13th is in October this year. So we started thinking about that because that was around the time that we do it anyway. And so it was like, well, long story short, the theme this year is Reclaim Your Radical Witch. And so everything has this like subtle or overt witch theme that's going to happen in terms of like the feminist witch. And what it means to have, like, these source powers that maybe got a negative stigma for certain reasons within patriarchal culture. We reached out to Urban Artifact and Mad Tree, and kind of half joking, like, how hard would it be to make a witch's brew this year? Because we thought that could just be, like, turn the volume up on the whole thing. And they were game immediately. Like, this sounds great. So it's a limited edition. It's only going to be for the fest. It's a special batch, and it's only going to be at exclusive Ladyfest venues, the Comet, the Listing Loon, and Northside Yacht Club. So that'll be really fun.
Now let's talk some music. You have so many different kinds of acts that don't always necessarily mean all female acts. These are just...
No.
These are artists that are maybe feminine focused or just maybe feminine allies.
You know, there's a lot of questions every year. You know, what is the criteria to be able to play? And really, the bare bones of it is there has to be one woman in your band. That's pretty simple. That's pretty flat. Now, what does it mean to be a woman? We get into gender identity. Now, what does it mean to be an ally? What does it mean to, you know, not just have a woman who's being tokenized? So there's all this nuance to it. And then there's a lot that goes into the booking and the really the curatorial process of what art aligns the most with our mission. And so we go back to our mission a lot of, you know, bands that create art that would create the kind of space that we're trying to hold and that create the feeling of a safer space and create empowerment and are deeply collaborative. And so that's where we kind of get this lens. I'm pretty excited about the level of diversity that we're seeing in the lineup this year. And I'm not just referring to racial diversity, but across many different lines of identity. It's all over the place.
Well, in terms of it being all over the place, I'm looking at the list of bands and I see at least six or seven local acts that I know pretty well and that I think are fantastic bands. I'm excited that Soften is going to be part of this festival. Molly Sullivan, who's fantastic. Blossom Hall, Wonky Tonk, who, again, doesn't fit that sort of punk rock girl image that you would think.
No, not at all.
You have the Muse Women's Choir, which, again, breaks that mold. But then I'm also looking, and you have acts from as far away as Miami, New York, Chicago, all over the place. And I just, I think there's a great diversity to this lineup.
Oh, I really appreciate hearing that. We really, we went for it this year. There is a testament to being musicians and being on the touring circuit and being able to make connections and hearing, you know, when you're in New York playing a show, somebody seeing a Ladyfest button or a sticker and being like, oh, Ladyfest Cincinnati, I hear that's incredible. And having no idea who you are. You know, that's happened multiple times this past year. That's really, really enlivening. And it makes it a lot easier to be enticing when you're like, well, hey, do you want to come play it?
Sure. Well, and you immediately recognize that you have a connection somehow.
Right, exactly. Thankfully, it's like that moment where you see a very kind of like obscure but prolific band, like Button or something, and you're like, I have a kinship with this person, whether they know it or not. You know, if you like the Minutemen or you like Fugazi or you like whatever it is that you like, we have something in common that we might not know about yet. And Ladyfest Cincinnati does that. And it also is nice because, you know, we're not the only Ladyfest. And I've had a number of folks come up and be like, oh, I went to Ladyfest Atlanta. It was amazing. Or I went to Ladyfest Seattle and all these things, you know.
It's amazing how when you can connect with someone on one level, whatever it might be, let's say it's music, and then if you can engage in a conversation, you suddenly realize, wow, we have so many other connections or things that we find valuable in each other that will contribute to a great conversation and maybe lead to a friendship.
Right. And I want to say this was maybe a part of the subliminal lens that was happening with curation is really that thought in moments of, oh, wow, this not only this performance, but these people from Buffalo or these people from Chicago would be really amazing to have, you know, just walking around and talking and interacting with everyone in my city where I'm from. When you bring in this many people from out of town and you share the same space in the same time, you know, there's a lot of connections that are made, but it's beyond networking. It's these kind of like deep emotive bonds get formed because the quality of the experience that's being shared. Yeah, it's looking to be a really good lineup. I'm looking at my lineup right now since we started talking about bands, and there's a lot I'm really excited to get to hear again and see again and also witness others get to have that experience for the first time.
Rochelle, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
I've been speaking with Rochelle Kaplan, one of the organizers of Ladyfest Cincinnati. For more information about the festival, including a list of performers and a schedule of events, visit LadyfestCincinnati.com. I bought it. Thank you for listening to Local Exposure. Links to more great stories and local music and archives of our past shows can be found at wvxu.org/lx. The music you're listening to right now is Hypochondriac by Lung from the album Bottom of the Barrel. Find out more at lunglunglung.bandcamp.com. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. It is produced by Lee Hay and myself, Jim Nolan. I broke it. I bought it. I broke it. Until next time.